As the world looks upon me, as I struggle along, they say I have nothing, but they are so wrong. In my heart I'm rejoicing, how I wish they could see. Thank you, Lord, for your blessings on me. I know I'm not wealthy, and these clothes, they're not new. I don't have much money, but Lord, I have you. And to me, that's all that matters, though the world may not see. Thank you, Lord, for your blessings on me. There's a roof up above me, I've a good place to sleep. There's food on my table and shoes on my feet. You gave me your love, Lord, and a fine family. Thank you, Lord, for your blessings on me.
In the dark of the midnight, have I altered my face? While the storm howls above me, and there's no hiding place, mid the crash of the thunder, precious Lord, hear my cry. Keep me safe till the storm passes by. Till the storm passes over, till the thunder sounds no more, till the clouds roll forever from the sky. Hold me fast, let me stand in the hollow of thy hand. Keep me safe till the storm passes by. Many times Satan whispers, there is no need to try. For there's no end of sorrow, there's no hope by and by. But I know thou art with me, and tomorrow I'll rise where the storm never darkens the sky. Till the storm passes over, till the thunder sounds no more, till the clouds roll forever from the sky. Hold me fast, let me stand in the hollow of thy hand. Keep me safe till the storm passes by. When the long night has ended and the storm come no more, let me stand in thy presence on that bright, peaceful shore, in that land where the tempest never comes. Lord, may I dwell with thee when the storm passes by. Till the storm passes over, till the thunder sounds no more, till the clouds roll forever from the sky. Hold me fast, let me stand in the hollow of thy hand. Keep me safe till the storm passes by.
Amen. You know, the storm is raging this day and time that we're living in. But it just shows me one thing, and that is that Jesus is coming soon. He's coming soon, and surely we need to be ready when he does come. And I appreciate the opportunity of being back with you today. Even though I hate that Brother Mahan's not doing good, but let's just pray for him. And we need to pray for him, and we should be doing it every day of our life. And not only him, there are so many people that's lost without Christ. We need to pray for them also. And we need to pray for those that are, all others that are sick. And I know I'm mentioning this again, but I just want to encourage us to pray for those that need our prayers. And by the way, I need your prayers, and you need my prayers. And so let's pray for one another. Amen. And by the way, Sister Betty, right? We missed you last Sunday. We really did. And I was going to tell you that a while ago, and it slipped my mind. Of course, you know, my mind slips a whole lot here lately for some reason or another. And I don't know what it is, and I think I know, but I'm not sure. When am I loud enough or too loud or what? That sounds like I'm getting a back lash out. Is it? Okay, everything's all right. I knew everything was all right in my Father's house anyway. Amen. Isn't it good to be in the house of the Lord? Amen. Or nod your head if you don't say amen, okay? One or the other. Let me know. All right. I told Brother Bill last Sunday, I think it was Brother Bill, it might not have been him, but it was somebody that I told I didn't finish my message. And I would, if I got to come back anymore, I'd finish it then. And I feel that I'm just going to finish that, and then I might get into something else. I don't know for sure. I got an hour and 15 minutes, okay? By that clock back there. Oh, and don't y'all change. And don't y'all change it none either. Not this week. If I don't come, Brother Mahan needs it the time as much as I do. Amen. So, all right. So we were preaching on when all else fails, use God's word. And God's word will take care of it. We'll just study God's word. The Bible tells us, study God's word. A workman need not be ashamed, but rightly divide the word of truth. So remember that, and we need that. And we have already got through half of it, and I'm not going back for the sake of time, but my third thought was is this, and that is God's directions. Well, the Bible tells us how that we can be healthy spiritually. You know, there's a lot of people, and it seems like this is the day and time that people a lot of times will have health situations that they want to take care of. You know, they always going to the gym and working out, or they doing this for their health or something else for their health. And I'm not throwing off on that. God forbid, I need a whole lot of that myself, probably more than I do. I just told Brother Bill again, I was telling you to say this, that I was just telling him a while ago, I had to go to the doctor October the 7th, to the heart doctor, and every time I go, he says, you been walking, you been exercising? And I hate to tell him a little red story, or a little white story, or whatever you want to say. And so I'm going to have to start walking a little bit this week more than I have been. But God's direction is surely we can be healthy spiritually along with being healthy fleshly, so to speak. Now, a man can eat all the nourishing food that gives his body strength, but it is no avail until he uses the strength. He must use it daily. And God directs that we need to use our spiritual strength daily also. Now in Matthew 6:33 was my subject or scripture for this message last week. And so if you want to look at it, that's fine. But the Bible directs us to take one spoonful of communion with God before each meal. In other words, in Psalms 55:17 says, evening and morning and at noon will I pray and cry aloud, and he shall hear my voice. You know, a lot of people today take vitamins for their body, but they'll not take that spiritual vitamin, like bowing their heads and thanking Jesus Christ for their food before they eat. No wonder their lives are a mess. No wonder, because they will not follow the directions that God gives him in God's word. Now, in Matthew 6:33 says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these other things shall be added unto you. And you don't, also I'm going to be using several other scriptures, and I'm trying to get through with this message so I can start on another one. But I'm just going to talk fast through this message. You listen fast, and we'll get along just fine on it, okay? But the Bible tells us to take a tablespoonful at bedtime. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. What's the scriptures for that now? In Ephesians, I believe it is, in chapter 4. I'm thinking it's in verse 26. I may be wrong. But it says, let your sun go down upon your wrath. A lot of times I get upset with my wife, and y'all don't do it. Brother Bill, you don't do that, I know, with Sister Donna. But I do get upset sometimes with my wife. And if she was here, I'd say the same thing. Now, but we see several abilities, and straightway we took your journey here. And so we see that as we look at this, we need to check and see that we're not anything wrong between you and your wife, or you and your husband, whichever it might be. Most of us here this morning would not think of laying down to sleep either without taking a bath or brushing your teeth, one or the other. Most of us would not know. And so we see, I may lay down with a stained conscience and a stain with hate and jealousy a lot of times. We find that no wonder our lives are messed up. They will not go by the direction of God's word. So there we go. The Bible directs us to be cautious. And some things are habit forming. And they are not all good things. For example, telling little white lies or distorting the truth, and also gossiping and many other things that we could think of. But if we do not follow God's word and keep those things out of our life, we'll find things just do not fit together exactly right. Will we not? Sure we will. You see, when all else fails, then read the directions. They tell us, first of all, in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 22, they tell us to abstain from all appearance of what? All appearance of evil, right? The devil's going to try to convince us that sin is not harmful. But I'm telling you today that it's deadly. Romans 6:23 says that the wages of sin is death. But that's not all of it, is it? Praise the Lord. It's not only the wages of sin and death, but it says that, it slipped my mind. I told you my mind slipped once in a while. Wages of sin and death, but the gift of God is eternal life, or something to that effect. Okay. Anyway, I made a mistake this morning. My mind slipped. A lot of people do that. So we see that, and that is the way the things are going today. If we stop and think about it, we'll see that there's so many things going wrong in the world. But we cannot blame it on the devil all the time. I know he's at the back of every bit of it. Most of the time, if not all the time, but he's not direct on it all the time, and we just go ahead and do it anyway. But it's because of the devil, isn't it? We'll put it on him this morning anyway. Okay? It's because of him. Do not be deceived about sin. God's word warns us to not to touch it. As he was warned, we would warn a man not to touch a 220 volt line. Adam could not get away with it. David and Samson and Moses and others, even Satan himself, could not get away with it. But Jesus Christ died for our sin. He gave his life for us that we might not have, we might have life and have it eternal. Jesus took our sins upon him. He paid the price. We don't have to pay the price. So if we'll follow the direction of John 6:37, it says, "And him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out." You see, we can gain entrance into heaven by that. But I want to share with you also something else this morning. And that is, let me talk to you about Jesus just for a little while and talk about the good old gospel ship that's going sailing through the air. You want to hear about that a little while this morning? All right. You see, my object is to give the description of the old ship of Zion. And you see, its hulk is not of wood nor steel, but it's the hollow rock of ages, clear for me. Its sails are made of the canvas of faith. And where it says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7, "For we walk by faith and not by sight." We walk by faith and not by sight. Now let's take just a small time look at the good old gospel ship. First of all, the good old gospel ship has a gangplank that is wide enough that all who believe may enter in. Every one of us can go in this morning, and I feel like all of us are going in. And the Bible says, "He that believeth on him is not condemned. But he that believeth not is condemned already." There in John chapter 3, verse 18, we realize that. You see, it says not only that, but in Isaiah 45, verse 22, that "Look unto me and be ye saved, all the end of the earth." Now, it also says in Matthew chapter 11, verse 28, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." As we look at those things there this morning, we can see that the good old gospel ship has a gangplank that is wide enough for all who believe may enter in. And I'm glad that I got on that good old gospel ship one day, aren't you? I praise the Lord that he saw fit enough to die for my sins. When he died for my sin, he died for everybody's sin. He didn't die just for me, but I'll tell you one thing, he loves me enough that if it had not been anybody else for me, he would have died for me. Same with you. Had not been anything for anybody but Miss Taylor or Sister Taylor, Sister Betty, Sister Donna, or Sister Nancy, or Brother Bill, had not been anybody else in this world but us. He would have died for us. And he did, praise the Lord. Amen. He died for our sin. And I thank God for that this morning. But let's go on a little bit farther. We see that the good old gospel's help has a compass to guide it with. The compass is the Word of God. And I preached last week on the Word of God and tried to finish it this week. But you see, this is it. The Word of God is everything to a Christian. Its needle always points to Christ, the morning star, the bright and morning star, the beautiful rose of Sharon. He's the one that has a compass. And he said, "Come unto me, all ye that labor." Now, all right, let's go on. And said, no one can lose his way when sailing by this direction. I know that people backslide on God. But if he'll come back to him, he's standing right where they left him at. He didn't leave them. They left him. So praise the Lord, you can come back if you backslid on God. If you just let the Holy Spirit lead, guide, and direct you, you can come back to Him, and He'll always take you back. Nobody can lose his way when sailing by this direction. Then we go on to think about that good old gospel ship has an anchor which holds in the time of storm. I can stop right here and just preach a while. But I'm not going to take long on none of them. But sometimes we find out that anchor holds in the time of storm. And we might have to find it out, but it's always there to hold in the time of storm. You see, the crew is not to lose heart, but to cast anchor. Who's the crew? We are. We're the cast anchor to people that's lost and dying without Christ Jesus. You see, the anchor never gives way. The anchor is both sure and steadfast in Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19. That's what it tells us there. But you see, not only that, but the good old gospel ship has Christ as its captain and the Holy Ghost as its pilot. You ever notice sometime on somebody's cars in front, of course, Virginia got a tag to put it up there, but I've got a tag up there too, but it's not a license tag. Mine said, give Jesus Christ your heart. But a lot of times we'll see on tags, say, Jesus is my co-pilot. He is not a co-pilot. He is pilot. Amen. I know what they're trying to say, but it's wrong. Jesus is my co-pilot. God is my co-pilot, in other words. You see, the good old gospel ship is captained by that. He knows every snare along the way. You see, there's nothing that's an accident with God. Nothing. God knows all things. See, we don't go through anything that they haven't already gone through. Amen. The Lord has said, I'll guide thee with mine eye. There in Deuteronomy chapter 33, verse 27. All of this, but then see something else. There's a good old gospel ship that had a whistle to let sister ships know its course. The whistle is you and I and our testimony. We ought to be whistling, oh, how I love Jesus. Let somebody know whose side that we're on. So many times we have a chance to testify for the Lord and to witness for the Lord, but we let it go by. And we don't do it. Oh, how I wish that I would do it every time. I need to pray that God would give me strength to testify to those that are lost, every one of them that I see and meet. As I showed y'all this morning, my mask, a lady fixed it for me and my wife, one just to like. But that mask has brought a whole lot of people to me. They look at it and say, I like that. But I don't know how much you like it. I ought to say, well, do you know him? Yeah. You know, but I don't a lot of times. And a lot of times I point to it and just smile at him. It's my testimony. Jesus saves. Praise the Lord for that. Amen. I'm glad Jesus saves. I'm glad that He loved me enough to save me. But the whistle is the testimony of the saints. It should not give an uncertain sound. No. The Bible says in Revelation chapter 12, verse 11, and they overcame Him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. Now, who was him? Satan himself. Let's get it. Listen at it again. And they overcame him, which is Satan, by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony in Revelation chapter 12. Let's go on. The old gospel ship has a wireless telegraph system. Think about it. It's used to keep in contact with the headquarters. That's the throne of God, the headquarters. See, Jonah used it in the whale. He got to praying, didn't he? Made the old whale sick. A lot of times when we testify to somebody, it makes them want to go, don't it? Verna's granddaughter is staying with us for a week or two. We keep TV on to some preaching all the time. A lot of times, she'll just go through to where she stays in the bedroom. A lot of times, she'll stop and look at it. But we're keeping on so that she can hear the word of God along with us. And hopefully the Lord will give the Holy Ghost directions to witness to or to convict her. It could happen. And I praise the Lord for it. She's not right. Pray for her. She needs your prayers. We need ours too when she's there. Well, we need ours all the time, but especially when she's there, we need a certain thing answered. You see, Jonah used it in the whale and made him sick. Daniel used it in the lion's den, and it protected Daniel, did he not? I believe them old lions just laid down all night long, slept like Daniel did. He probably had one for his feet and one for his head and maybe one in the middle back here for a pillow. He slept all night long. He knew God was going to take care of him in that den of lions, did he not? Sure he did. And there was Paul and Silas that used it in the jailhouse. I sung and praised God all night long. The old jailhouse door swung open wide. Stocks fell off their feet. God used it through them. And the throne of God is headquarters for that. And the last thing I want to say to you. And that is, the old gospel ship has a tug that'll steer it into heaven's harbor. And it came to pass, the Bible says, that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. Not only that, but you think about Stephen. As he was fixing to, he got stoned and he's fixing to get his last breath. He looked up. What did he see? He saw Jesus standing. Now, I believe Jesus was standing with his outstretched hand and them nail-scarred hands were pointing toward Stephen. My friend, Richard, that good old gospel ship, Jesus being the captain, Holy Ghost, been the assistant captain. You see, they've all got a work to do. And praise the Lord, the Holy Spirit convicts us and we do something wrong. And if he don't, then we better check up. Amen. All right, let's bow our heads. I said this and I'll say it again. The old gospel ship has a tug that'll steer it into heaven's harbor. And I'm going to get it and give. I think everybody is saved this morning by their testimony. I'm taking it that you are. And I say that because I cannot know anybody but mine. My testimony and my well-being with the Lord. That I'm saved, and you know whether you're saved or not. I don't. But I think you are. Well, there's one thing for sure. While I try to sing this for an invitation song, and I ain't never heard nobody sing it for an invitation song, but I want to try this morning. And if you'll stand with your heads bowed, eyes closed, if you need to come this morning, please do so. If you don't need to come for yourself, come for some others. And I know God will bless you for it. When burdens come so hard to bear that no earthly friend can share, He'll drive away the tears that leave my heart in pain. Then my Lord from heaven above speaks to me in tones of love, wipes away the tears and makes me smile again. Oh, the thought to me is sweet, that my loved ones I shall meet at the ending of my journey here below. Seems I hear their voices blend in a world without an end. I won't weary when my time shall come to go. When Jesus comes to claim his own, I will move to my new home. I'll walk and talk with him upon the streets of gold. There a mansion mighty made, soon its beauty I will see. In a city where we never shall grow old, I need no mansion here below, for Jesus said that I could go to a home beyond the clouds not made with hands. Won't you come and go along? We will sing the sweetest song ever played upon the harp. Glory land. Father, we come to you today in the name of Jesus, the sweetest name that we know this side of eternity. Thank you, Lord, for the word of God. And Lord, even though it was a feeble output, the word of God stands on its own. Thank you. Lord, I pray, Heavenly Father, to bless each one of these that is around this altar today. Lord, I pray, Heavenly Father, that as they pray for different ones, and I pray, Heavenly Father, that you'll bless them, bless those that they're praying for, Lord, and have us to be what you'd have us to be, Lord. Thank you for everything you do for us. Lord, I pray each one is sick, Brother Donnie. Lord, I pray that you'd soon have him up and preaching again for your honor and your glory. Lord, I realize that's what he wants to do, but Lord, I pray that you just honor his request and honor my request today, Lord. Thank you for everything you do now, Lord. Give us a good day in the Lord and a good week in you. And help us, Lord, to be back in God's house when the church doors are open. Father, we'll be careful to give you the praise, honor, the glory for everything you do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. 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 Thank y'all
for everything.
Amen.